C'est son.
Welcome to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast with your hosts, Brady Connors, Frankie Morales, and Daniel Acosta.
The gang's all here.
We did it.
We did it. Chalk that down for one day without a
without an accident.
One day without an accident.
Well, that's not true. I almost didn't make it. I was bleeding out in Dave's kitchen earlier.
Yeah,
that was true, dude. Hey, he's bleeding. Get him something. Not now. I'm trying to hear about this place.
Credit to Jordan for committing to the story, dude.
And then everyone just looking at me like, do
the
your
house
job.
House could have been on fire.
Like, I work at the winery and I'm off duty. Yeah. No, that's the last thing I want to do. What's good, boys?
Big chilling, man.
We got a big Saturday.
Yeah, we do.
Big game, big sports day today, dude.
Frank and I are rocking the Kobe jerseys.
There's a ton of shit on today. Not just, there's like a full slate of baseball. There's playoff basketball and there's also soccer, I think.
We had the Dodger game on.
Yeah, I know.
Downstairs.
Yep.
That was for you.
Appreciate it.
We beat the Giants, so we're getting back
beat
on track.
The Giants last night, yeah. Well, dude, I was looking more into that, and we got absolutely fucked by the schedule gods to start the season. We're the second team since 1957 to pretty much have all their games on the road, the first, like, 20 games. We only played three home games all season, and we went 9-9, essentially, on the road. I'll take that, dude.
That's pretty nice.
I'll fucking take that.
I know we're still pretenders because we got swept by the Rangers.
We're definitely still pretenders, dude.
100%.
Except their pitching's pretty good. I'll give them that.
The Rangers are good.
Pitching or our pitching?
Their pitching's good, and we are, and Corey Seager's our daddy, dude.
Yes, he is, bro.
Guy, absolute shit on us.
The Astros are our daddy. Corey Seager's are our daddy.
Corey Seager's our daddy.
Oh, the Astros ain't anybody's daddy anymore.
The Astros are ass now.
They're dead.
Well, tell that to the Angels.
Missed that memo.
Didn't they take that series?
Yeah, well, Astros took it, and we got swept by the Rangers.
And that's going to sum up our small segment of Around the Bases. We're getting into the running backs. Part two, Electric Boogaloo. But before we do that, we got to crack them to attend to. Brady, who are we cracking it to today?
Well, I was kind of rattling off some stuff before we came on here, and there was a couple ones that I mentioned, notably being Rory McIlroy. Congrats to Rory for winning the Masters. I know you guys cracked it to the Masters, but we didn't know officially who won until Sunday. He finally got that elusive Grand Slam. I was looking. You know how many times Tiger has completed the Grand Slam in golf?
No.
Three times.
I don't even know what the Grand Slam is.
It's winning the Masters, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and the Open Championship.
Damn. And he probably no,
like that's
30 Grail. Years ago.
That's four. Triple.
It's four.
Is it four?
Yes.
And it's called the Triple
it's
Crown?
It's called the Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam. I was like, what am
so
I
anyways,
talking about?
Triple Crown. Tiger. We're passed around the bases, dude.
I'm still stuck over there.
So, yeah, anyways, Tiger has completed that three times. And then he won the Masters five times and then another one four times. And the other two's won three times.
Side note, there's clubs in the garage. I got clubs in the garage. Shout out to Oracle Don for giving me his composite clubs.
Oh, nice, dude. There's a net. There's a net in the back. We should go fucking set up a driving range in your backyard.
Let's do it after the episode,
dude. Let's do it after our six beers we have.
Fuck
But anyways, just want to throw a quick shout out to him. Also, the Laker game or Laker playoffs, I should say, are starting today. So I would love to throw a quick shout out to them. But
quick
honestly,
note, hold on, quick note. Okay. People forget how fucking good Tiger Woods was in his prime.
Oh, it was ridiculous, dude.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Bro, he was like Muhammad Ali famous, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good he fucking was. Like,
crazy.
Everything he did turned to gold. But the main crack I want to allude to, and we would like to allude to, and it fits nicely here given our podcast and the fact that we're scouting these college kids, is to Lee Corso.
Nice.
Lee Corso is hanging them up after 40 years of College Game Day. Boys, I don't know if you ever watched College Game Day, but
I love
College Game Day
as growing up as a kid. And he was the shit. Basically, dude, like him and Herb Streets.
Not so fast.
Yeah, him and Herb Streets. What do you call it? Chemistry together was just like unmatched, dude. And the fucking times he would just rile up so many kids by putting on the opposing team's mascot head for who they picked to win. Yep. It was so fucking funny, dude.
So I didn't watch college as much as you guys have growing up, but I do remember watching ESPN growing up, and they would always have highlights of those pregames of him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just fucking getting everybody pumped up. So super cool.
Yep, he had a legendary run. So
he did that for 40 years. He did that longer than as old as we've been.
Bro,
he can barely do it.
I was gonna say
he should have stopped like 4 or 5 years ago.
He did it for 40 years, and I didn't even know until maybe, I don't know, my late teens, early 20s, that he was actually a coach. My whole life, I thought he was just a guy that did
he coached, huh?
And mm-hmm. he was a coach. Yeah,
that's
he coached
like
D1.
That's news to me, dude. That's news to me.
That's what I'm saying. That's how long he's been doing that shit, dude. It's
good
just
for
crazy.
Him, man.
Like, well, our generation only knows him as a host, which is crazy. So, anyways, this Crockham's very much the lead. Congratulations on a legendary career. I brought us, boys, a beer called Break of the Dawn. Frank says it's ass. I've never had it personally.
No, I didn't say it's ass. I said this type of beer, it's called a Saison.
Saison.
Is very different than what we normally drink. So I'll be curious to see what you guys
think. So funny you mentioned that. That's the reason why I got this beer is because I saw Saison. And no real fun story other than it reminded me of the band Saosin.
Great beer, dude. Great beer.
That's it. And I was all, man, that band's sick. Let me get that beer. Yeah.
I do love Seos. You know what? Fuck Lee Corso. This was the Saison episode.
Let's go. And to emo in general.
Yeah. To emo night. And Lee Corso.
Cheers, Lee. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. This is terrible. Sorry, boys.
I told you guys it was going to be ass.
This is probably a Mary beer.
That is a ATC first.
Yeah. It's got like that banana weird flavor to it.
It's got like a Belgian wit taste.
Yeah, I think this is a German style.
It's French.
Is it French?
God,
that's
no wonder.
Damn it, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep fast.
That's it. This episode's over.
We're gonna have to cancel. Yeah, it's pretty
bad.
Nah,
I'm just gonna slam this within the next few minutes because this beer, specifically this beer, you can't drink it. You have to drink it ice cold because if it gets any warmer, it's complete dog shit.
Yeah, which means we have to drink this fast to get to that one, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
All right, let's get to work. One more chug.
Yep.
Yeah, this is bad. Mary loves these beers, dude, which is weird.
Remind me of Blue Moon, and Saosin. I fucking hate Blue Moon.
This would have been a perfect episode to have recording to have all our faces after the Thursday.
Saosin, great band, bad beer.
Yep.
Saison. Don't associate them with this shitty beer, dude.
For some reason, I can't even, I have all these songs floating in my head, and I don't know the name of any of them.
Oh, Bury Your Head is probably the one that stands out the most.
All right, let's bury our head into these running backs. So this is, like I said, part two, Electric Boogaloo. This is probably the deepest running back class we've seen since we've started the podcast and probably since we've been playing fantasy football.
Dude, another set of fucking great running backs that I saw.
Yes.
It's crazy.
I'm going to do my best to not make outrageous comps, but as I watch the tape on these guys, I'm like, damn, dude, like all of these backs look good.
I don't hate. Okay, so we can't predict what they're going to do at the next level, but like all we can say is they have similar styles to like
styles, skill sets.
Yeah,
production.
So like we're not saying they're going to be them at the next level. It's just like
landing spot is everything.
And doing it at the college level and doing it at the NFL are two different things, right? So
100%.
I'm with you, dude. I don't hate the outrageous comps, but we just, you know, got to preface that.
Well, let's get into the first back. Amarian Hampton, 22 years old, 6 feet, 221 pounds out of North Carolina. He played 38 games for them, career-wise, 622 rushing attempts, so not the worst tread. 3,565 yards, 36 rushing touchdowns, and he had averaged 5.7 yards per clip. So, fun fact about him, he actually rushed for 100 yards or more in 10 of his 12 games last season, and he actually set a North Carolina single-season record with 2,033 all-purpose yards. This kid, chiseled.
Dude.
Sturdy. Let's not even get to the football. Let's just talk about his body first.
Okay.
Okay, D. He's got Saquon-like quads.
He's huge.
He's a big boy, dude. He's chiseled. He barrels through arm tackles, and for someone that's considered more like a battering ram kind of running back, he has actually really good lateral movement. Beautiful jump cut. I'd say that's more of his specialty, And he has this ability to just move laterally, and he doesn't lose any speed. Not a ton of top-end speed, but he's got good bursts, good acceleration. He honestly always runs like he's going downhill, and he has that one-cut-and-go ability where he could just plant his foot and just punish somebody. Once he breaks through the line, fourth quarter, you're literally watching defenders be like, oh, fuck, here he comes again, dude.
I got a great comp for this guy. So,
but if I had to give him a couple cons, I think he could be a little bit more patient and just kind of let his holes open up. He looks like he plays like he knows he's just kind of almost like in a Travis Hunter way where he just knows he's bigger and stronger than everybody. So he just tries to – he just plays like a battering ram, dude. I think he could use better pad level. He runs a little upright. And his game doesn't have a lot of creativity to him, not a lot of elusiveness, tight-hipped. But what he does very, very well. He's got really good power, really good burst, really good lateral movement. He's to me, and he doesn't use his hands very often, but it's there. Three back skill set for sure. Fantasy darling coming up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I have pretty much the same scouting report on him as you do. Also, something you didn't mention that I think that we harp on a lot with rookies coming into league is his pass blocking. Not the best. And you think it would be for someone that size, dude. But he has problems identifying blitzers pre-snap and can kind of get himself into trouble there. Same thing with speed. I didn't really see too much breakaway speed. Speed as a whole, he seemed a little slower on tape than I thought he was originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then same thing with the upright running. You know, he's very fluid with his hips. But yeah, dude, once he gets that hole and there's space, he's pretty much gone, dude, or he's trucking somebody.
He was all that North Carolina had. So he was playing against a stacked box every single week.
Yeah, fun fact about that. That's a great point you just brought up really quick, D. So I have on my notes here as well, in terms of the receptions, he counted for 17% of total receptions at UNC.
Jeez.
That means they had literally no one there, like you mentioned. So it is interesting that receiving aspect of it, because that's what us PPR managers play for. That's what we want to see. But again, it's all going to follow about landing spot, dude. Like, what scheme is he in? What type of offense is he in? You know, how is he going to be utilized?
As an NFL fan, I'm really, really nervous that he's going to go to the Broncos.
The Broncos?
Yeah.
Mm.
I think this kid's going to land in a more favorable spot than Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, man. I think the only thing I have different from you guys that I noticed on tape is that he never got brought into like negative yardage. He was always falling forward, always positive yardage. That's NFL teams are going to love that at the next level. My comp was Nick Chubb. It reminds me of Nick Chubb.
That's a good comp, dude. That's a really good comp.
I had Nick Chubb
running style
as
and everything.
A ceiling and A.J. Dillon as a floor.
Dude, yeah. I like that. See, I don't even think A.J. Dillon is a floor. I'm like, skill set wise, that's A.J. Dillon on tape out there.
He looks like A.J. Dillon.
He could be.
I
could
think AJ
be Nick
Dillon's
Chubb.
A little bigger. But.
AJ Dillon's body, because he's got those big legs.
Yeah.
I have him as a slower Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, okay.
Because JT's got some home run ability.
JT
this,
is
this
a
kid
home
does
run
not
here.
Have,
yeah.
He doesn't have the home
JT's
run.
I think JT's a little more athletic than him, too.
I like the.
You know what? I hate that comp.
What I like, like about it is that him and JT seem like they are able to just weave and move laterally without losing any speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's something that Hampton is able to do. But
yeah,
sorry, boys.
This is one of those we gotta just dude. Nice. Oh, but yeah, no, Hampton. I think he's going in the first round.
You think so?
Yeah, of the NFL draft.
Ooh, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I see. I think there's gonna be three backs taken in the first round.
Fuck, that's a lot. That's kind of exciting though.
And the next one is gonna be Travion Henderson. You want to get in him, Frank?
Yeah, dude. Lost my place here. 22, 5'10", 208, Ohio State University. He was there 4 years, played 47 games, 591 rushing attempts, 3,700 yards, 42 touchdowns, 6.4 yards per carry.
Career stats.
Career stats,
42
yes.
touchdowns, holy shit.
42 touchdowns. 76 catches, so he's got some pass catching, 850 rushing or receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns. Man, it's a mouthful. Set Ohio State's freshman record with 19 total touchdowns in 2021. 15 rushing, 4 receiving. Insane. First team All Big Ten 2023. second team 2021, and third All Big Ten 2024. Team captain 2024. So let's get into them here. Elite speed and bursts, this guy. Dangerous in the open field. Smooth acceleration, high football IQ, ability to hit home runs, strong route runner as a receiver. Problems, right? Can be very hesitant at times. He's had injury problems in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Probably needs to develop for more short yardage situations at the NFL level in order for him to be that three down back. I think he can, depending upon the system.
Yeah.
And just like a lot of these other guys, pass protection is going to be a question mark, and he's still developing as a three down back.
I thought he was actually better in pass protection than
he's the best in the class.
Yeah,
he's,
dude. Like I saw him level some dudes, bro.
Like for college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, he obviously needs work. So.
That's what I mean. Like he's going to have to learn how to do that at the NFL level. Like
hitting
somebody in college is different than big hitting facts. Aaron fucking Donald coming down the throat. So. I really like this kid. He's probably going to get drafted in the first round, like you were saying, because somebody's going to be, is going to fall in love with his athletic ability and his home run ability. And somebody's going to think we can teach this guy all the rest. Cause he's basically got all of the exciting things that you want on paper as an NFL back. This is going to sound crazy, but watching this kid run reminds me of Alvin Kamara.
Mm.
That's not a bad comp.
Reminds me of J.K. Dobbins. All hope shattered. Because of his injury history.
I thought about that comp too, but I'm like, oh God, I hope. I just didn't.
I mean, not really. I just had to throw it out there because of his injury history, which is his biggest red flag, right? He missed time in 2022 and 2023 with a foot fracture and torn ligaments. That's not very ideal to me as a GM if you need a running back, bro.
Which is also probably why they brought in Quinshon Judkins last season and they split that backfield.
Yeah. I do like him overall, but I think I actually might like him more than Omarion, to be honest. If he can stay healthy, dude. I just think he's like a complete back. Like he's a complete third down back. It's rare that you're going to see him on
Three down back?
Sorry, three down back. Thank you. That's what I meant to say. Wow, these Saints hitting already, baby. Let's go.
No, they're not. They're lame, dude.
They're awesome. Kidding. Shut up, dude.
Just kidding. Okay.
But one other thing that kind of worries me about him is he's a one-speed runner. He kind of just He plays fast 24/7. He only knows what was one speed. When he runs into traffic out there in the field, that might be a bit of a problem. But I think overall, like I mentioned, I think he's probably my favorite running back to come out of the class, which is kind of shocking because I thought it was going to be Omarion until I really watched the tape on all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think Trevion could be a home run hit, dude, if, like I said, he's on the field.
Yeah. This is a fantasy football podcast. This is my favorite fantasy football running back coming out, dude.
Really?
Fucking love this kid. He's fun, dude. He's exciting. I love his accolades, right? Four-year starter at Ohio State, which has brought out Ezekiel Elliott, J.K. Dobbins, who was good before all of his injuries.
I'll give you that. And he was good. Okay, he was okay last year.
Yeah, and the key to me is like he's doing it as a freshman, right? So he's setting all those touchdown records as a freshman, right? And then you fast forward a couple years. Now he's more in a split backfield because, yes, he has had some injury issues. But the way they ran that, dude, and we keep hammering home this comp of the Lions backfield, right? But that's I think they did it so well, and we're seeing so many teams do it so well, and that's how they ran it. Chip Kelly ran that offense, thunder and lightning, right? And this kid was the lightning, but it wasn't like he was just shooed into being a pass catcher.
Right.
They still handed him the ball, and he did that at 7.1 yards a clip.
That is insane. Right?
So he was still a home run hitter in the passing game and in the running game. His inside vision, a little messy. I feel like when he's asked to kind of work through tight spaces in the line, that's not what he's good at. But he's got this ability to just smash that accelerator and just bounce outside. That's the difference. And I really liked his pass blocking. So to me, that's why he has a three-down skill set, because he can run, he can catch, and he can block. It's going to come down to whether a team's going to want to keep him on the field that often. I very much see him being used in a Jahmyr Gibbs-style role, which is still, 15 to 20 touches a game, and he's so dangerous, and what he does so well. I could see it succeeding in the right offense. He's not Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs
is generational.
I would say he's a tier above in everything, like faster, stronger.
Oh, Jahmyr Gibbs is.
Jahmyr Gibbs is, but This kid's a weapon in space. He's super twitchy. He's got beautiful hands. He only had 2 drops out of 53 targets. He could run a complete route tree from the backfield. And he's got home run speed. We watched him do it in the college football playoff. He took that screen right before half. 70 yards later, he's in the house. So he can do it, dude. I am worried about his injury history. As much as we love him to have a 3-down workload, like I think he's going to split.
I mean, that's probably best case scenario because, you know, then look at what if we put Jahmyr Gibbs in a 3-down situation? He probably wears down towards the end of the year when you need him the most. And so,
but in a Jahmyr Gibbs-like way, when David Montgomery went down and they did it,
he could do it.
He can do it.
Exactly.
And he was what, RB1 every single week? 30 burger. The way that he plays, to me, reminds me of a young Aaron Jones, where he could hit home runs from the ground and he's still valid enough in the passing game and he's got a little sprinkle of injury history. He reminded me of a young Aaron Jones.
I think he's bigger than Aaron Jones.
It's a good comp, though.
It is.
It's play style.
Yeah.
It's like Aaron Jones with the Packers was fun to watch.
He was.
Fuck that
like
guy.
He had a couple. Yeah, he had a few of those games, dude.
Fuck that guy.
Bro, how did that guy only fuck you?
Just like I had that over 24 and a half, over 24 and a half receiving yards, and he couldn't, or maybe it was rushing. But if he would have covered that, I would have made like $600.
I just loved how, I think, was it last year? When did you trade for Aaron Jones?
Yeah, 2 years
last
ago.
Last year.
I just loved how you just shit talk him your whole life, and you just traded for him.
Well, yeah, because you know he is what he is, and you gotta put your biases aside. All the shit talking I have is all opinion based, and none of it's relevant.
You're right, dude. Big facts.
And the coaches and like. To belabor the point, like, coaches love this kid, dude.
That's a good sign.
Like, team captain. And, like, I was talking to you about this, Brady, or maybe it was you, but, like, a college running back's ability to pass block tells me everything I need to know about his character.
Mm-hmm. If you're willing to work, bro.
Right? That means you're willing to work. And for all, like, the shit we can give Zeke was very, very good.
Day one pass blocking.
Yeah. So that tells me a lot. He's willing to do the dirty work. From an NFL fan standpoint, he would be the most amazing compliment to Najee Harris, dude.
And that'd be
that
nice.
That electric weapon that the Chargers are lacking.
But you were the one who told me you don't think he's going to be there when we draft, right?
He might.
He might?
He might be.
Hampton probably won't, is what you're thinking.
Well, both of them potentially could.
Okay.
But I think the problem with the Chargers is everything they need, the Broncos need as well.
God damn it.
So... And there are a few spots in front of us. I think Genty, Hampton, and Henderson will go in the first round.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind like a Quinshon Judkins late second, third.
Agreed, dude. And they actually, I mean, to get into the Chargers a little bit, they're talking about, oh, what are you going to do? You brought in Najee Harris. So what does that mean? And the general, Ortiz was like, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, like we're going to follow the board and we're going to take who we love. You know, and there's nothing wrong with adding a back for the long term. So I wouldn't rule out Hampton. I wouldn't rule out Henderson. It just goes down to
the GM's smart.
Likes. Agreed. I mean, Harris looks like he's going to be that thunder, and they needed a little lightning. And there's some lightning in this next kid, Dylan Sampson. You want
to
get into him?
I want to talk to Sampson.
Dylan Sampson, 20-year-old kid. He's a baby face. 20-year-old. Yeah. Out of University of Tennessee, 5'8", 200 pounds, 3-year junior.
Gah.
You all right there, dude?
Gah.
Couple career stats here at Tennessee. 34 games played, 420 rushing attempts, 2,486 rushing yards, 35 touchdowns, 5.9 yards per clip, 39 catches, 340 receiving yards, and 1 receiving touchdown.
1 year as a starter.
That was my next question. Are those numbers skewed to one starting year?
He only started last year. And it was last year, and it's pretty impressive considering he won SEC Offensive Player of the Year.
Ooh, baby.
So some pros from Dylan. He's got great burst and top end. God, these beers, dude. I don't know if it's the beers or just me bleeding out all over the place earlier.
Your lack of blood.
Are you bleeding on my carpet?
Getting white, dude.
He's like, what do we give him? He said he wants another beer.
Yeah.
Hand it to him.
Top end speed. He does have some home run ability once he breaks through the line, which he very much does. He had some very nice runs. I'm trying to remember the film I watched. Anyways. But And his speed is just legit overall across the field. He is a slippery runner as well. He's very elusive in traffic and he's good with his spin move. And he can also change direction at top end speed, which is not a lot of what I saw from a lot of these guys, to be honest.
A little A-chain-esque in that way.
Yeah, and he can do it, which is nice. One of my favorite things about him as well is his vision. That's one of my favorite things about running backs that holds as a whole. If you have great vision, I'm usually probably going to hone
it's
in on
feel,
you.
It's a feel, dude.
Yeah. Shows great patience behind his blockers. He knows when to turn it on and fucking just hit the hole, dude. And his production, right? Like, he's – I wouldn't say, like, he's – how would you say, dude? Like, he's just a gamer, I think. Dylan Sampson is a fucking gamer, dude. Like, he's not – the size-wise, not prototypical running back, mm-hmm. but the guy is a fucking gamer, dude. He shows up and produces on the field, dude. Averages a touchdown every 12 touches, which is insane, and he's always moving forward to move the chains. Some cons, his power, he's not the – as I mentioned, he's not the biggest body in the bunch. His effort lacks strength, potentially. He does have a lighter frame as well. And his ball security, I think he had 4 fumbles last year, off the top of my head.
He's always fighting for yards, and it, in a way, he's like getting held upright, and then they rip the ball out of his hands.
Yeah,
it's like that happened to him multiple times.
Yeah, like I said, I think he had 4 fumbles last year, dude, which is not good at all.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, as I mentioned before, we are PPR people here. Not very proven as a pass catcher, which is a bit alarming. But overall, I mean, I like what I see out of Dylan Sampson. I think he could do some things at the next level. I don't see him as a true RB1 off the rip. I think he's going to be in a backfield committee somewhere wherever he goes. He's going to be a short chain mover, I guess, per se.
You think so? I see him being like that change of pace back.
That's what I was going to say. I don't see a short chain type guy that would
I see a lot of these guys.
Like a third and two, you're not bringing this guy in to get you too young.
No.
This guy's playing like the pass catcher.
Yeah, that's what I see out of this guy.
I don't see any pass catching out of this guy at all. We just alluded to it. He can't catch the ball.
He can't.
He's unproven, dude.
You know, I see him being that guy that comes in and just takes a drive. You know what I mean? Like almost like how Alexander Mattison would do it with God knows whoever was there, Adrian Peterson.
Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook. That's exactly what I was thinking of. So that's the way I see him. I see him, like, just I'll throw the comp out there. He looks like Tony Pollard on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Right? We're like, all right, we're going to give Zeke a rest. And then this kid comes in. It's like, why doesn't he play more often? This guy's breaking 10, 15-yard runs every time he touches the ball.
Yeah.
You know, very similar skill set, too, where just not a lot of power to their game. They're just very quick, shifty. You know, chain mover in that aspect.
The only thing I had is, looks like he's not very good between the tackles.
He's better bouncing the ball outside.
Yeah.
So definitely.
Otherwise, you guys nailed everything.
Like
A-chan.
Damn it. Get him outside, Miami.
Dude,
what are we doing out there, dude? A-chan
proved he can do it between the tackles, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, though, like, it just infuriated me when the fucking McDaniels would just fucking.
I think everybody started
to
figure out that offense. I think everybody started to figure out that offense last year, personally. Sorry, not to get sidetracked, but.
No, for sure. Yeah, overall, dude, I really like Sampson, man. I mean, touchdown every 12 carries, right? 1 year of production, dude. Almost 1,500 rushing yards in the SEC.
Yep.
And then, what, 22 rushing touchdowns? Again, in 1 year production. In the SEC, he tries to model his game after Alvin Kamara. Doesn't have the pass-catching chops. You know, did go to Tennessee like Kamara. Running style-wise, not as similar, but he does have that shiftiness, but I think Kamara's got more pop to his game. You know, where you can – I wouldn't use this guy in the goal line where you can – you're not going to take Kamara out. Kamara's going to get it done. But overall, he does a lot of things very well that's going to translate – to the NFL and fantasy football if he lands in the right landing spot. Even though he didn't do a ton as a pass catcher, I think it's there.
That's what I thought. I think it's there too. I think it's there too.
Yeah. So to me, he doesn't seem like the third down pass catching back. He's the change of pace guy. You know, all right, we're going to give this kid a drive.
Sure.
Every now and then, you know, the Travis Etienne to the Tank Bigsby.
Gotcha.
Fucking Tank Bigsby, bro.
God, fucking Travis Etienne, dude.
Yeah. But this kid's probably going second round.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
I could see it.
It's like, I mean, again, this is another back that would be a great fit for the Chargers.
Dude, just, you know,
different skill set than Najee Harris. home run ability.
Yep.
You can just say you'll take any of these backs, bro.
We'll take anything. Anything you want to leave us. We need so much help. But like to take a quick step back, you hit. I don't have anything else to add other than the fact that like this is another running back that's going to get drafted to a backfield that's going to have immediate impact somewhere. Like somebody's either going to lose touches or you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of these guys on here, they're going to have impacts everywhere they go. It's
you
crazy.
Think so?
I think so, man. Just because I think he can slot in like D's saying and be like a Tony Pollard. I actually like that comp a lot now that I heard it.
Lance Zierlein comped him to Brian Westbrook, dude.
What the fuck is wrong with that guy?
Philadelphia,
the
Brian
Westbrook from Philadelphia.
Brian Westbrook.
I don't believe that for a second.
To me, that just tells me he thinks the pass catching's there.
It's definitely there. Like I watched enough of the tape.
Yeah, I'm sure it's there for a lot of these guys. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I don't know, dude. I'm not a huge believer, and I think he's going to be a good player, but I don't. Like I said, I don't think he's going to be a one off the rip. I think more inclined to agree with you, D, where he's going to be that kind of change of pace guy. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the next guy. R.J. Harvey, he's 24 years old, coming out of the University of Central Florida. 5 years in college. He's one of those COVID babies. Overall, 34 games played, 579 rushing attempts for his career with 3,700 yards and 43 rushing touchdowns. Not a ton of receiving work to him. He's the UCF program record holder.
Middleweight champion of the world.
career touchdowns for the college, 48. Overall, this kid's interesting to me. He looked like a very natural runner. I thought he had some of the best patience and some of the best vision out of this class, and he was very, very slippery through traffic, where some of these guys felt like they had trouble navigating through the line. To me, he didn't seem like he had any issues. Elusiveness and just shiftiness is his game. That is this kid's calling card. He's got real make-you-miss ability, and he does it with great tempo, great burst. His ability to just change directions is probably some of the best in this class. And the hands are there. He didn't do a ton of it, but when he was asked to do it, he was a true home run threat. He was very dangerous in the screen game, very dangerous on the wheel routes. They kind of shoot him to just those routes in general, but he did. That's what he did well. He lacks power, smaller frame, and he will get slowed down through arm tackles. And his pass pro is close to abysmal, dude.
Abysmal, dude.
Abysmal.
That's a pretty brutal word.
Yeah. That's a pretty big
which
word for you, D.
Which to me, yes, dude. And I nailed it, baby. I nailed
you
it.
You did. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you.
His pass protection, dude, it's not good, right? And that's what worries me. A couple of things worry me about R.J. Harvey. One, he's already 24 years old, so he's going to be a 24-year-old rookie that can't pass block and he doesn't catch a ton of balls. He
I
can
got a
do
great
it, but he doesn't catch
guy.
A ton of balls, dude. So that said, he was very productive. Rushed for 75 or more yards in each of his final 21 games. That's pretty awesome. Again, great tempo, make you miss runner, wheels coming out of the backfield. He's a timeshare back for sure. The problem that I have with him is his skill set. You don't see a ton of timeshare backs with that make you miss ability that can't really catch the ball. And I'm not saying he can't, he just doesn't. Yeah. Or if you're not going to be catching the ball, you're going to be pass blocking, and he can't do that. Right? So to me, like it really narrows his get on the field chances, right?
Yes.
Because you typically want to pound the rock in those early downs, and that's not what this kid does. He again feels like more of that change of pace, I'll give you a drive ability. Who's your comp? I could
it's
not
like, it's like
out
he's
a good
got
one,
it's like he's got two double it's like he's got two right hands, dude. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like you can't do anything right that we need. It's DeAndre Swift. That's who he fucking is.
Oh, God. That's a great comp, though.
That's because it's true. That's why, like, if you think about it, like, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but if you look at why DeAndre Swift got fucking moved from Detroit when Campbell came over, it's because he didn't do anything that well that like, regime that brought in wanted to. That's why they went out. They got Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. It's fucking right there on paper. DeAndre Swift is the same fucking thing.
He's not going to be a three-down back.
No, and DeAndre Swift never has been because he never could pass protect. He still can't fucking pass protect.
But he's got that make you miss ability.
But he can fucking take it to the house.
Yeah.
Party.
Yeah. I saw a lot of analysts.
If you're listening, DeAndre Swift, I hate you.
I saw a lot of analysts giving him like Reggie Bush comps. Because like
Reggie could catch.
Reggie could catch. Exactly. Yeah. You know, but like the just the when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Like there's a little sprinkle of that.
Yeah.
You know, where Bush was generational, this kid is not.
Uh-huh.
Generational. And he's God, also old as balls, dude.
That's a bit of a disrespectful comment to my boy Reggie. Yeah. Dude.
But
what?
To RJ's credit.
To comp him to him.
Oh.
Like he. A lot of chunk plays.
Yeah.
You know, and UCF knew how to use him. Get this kid in space, right? Get him, you know, if you're going to throw him the ball, get it to him on a wheel route and just watch him go. Overall, he feels like a backup to me. Change of pace guy.
It's pretty accurate, dude.
That one Sunday comes in and then all of a sudden has three touchdowns.
Also, if you're a fantasy manager and you're drafting a 25-year-old rookie running back, dude, you got problems, bro.
Take a pause.
Yeah, you got problems, dude.
I got a bridge to sell you in Idaho.
Yeah. Let's go.
You got anything on Harvey Brady?
Nothing, man. Like I said, I very honestly, this kid, I did not scout really at all, just for my own personal sake, because like I mentioned, I was joking about it, but 24, 25-year-old rookie,
some people
dude,
love this kid, dude.
I mean, I get it, dude. Like he looks good on tape.
The tape is fun.
I was just going to say, the tape's fun. He looks good on tape, dude, but
YouTube is highlights, dude.
For me personally, yep. Dude, I'm just kind of staying away from him,
yeah,
to be honest.
He is 100% like, oh, RJ Harvey highlights, or oh fuck, dude, this guy's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, he looks great.
And you guys hit the nail on the head. I don't have anything to add.
But that's what happens when your 27-year-old is playing against 18-year-olds, dude.
You better,
100%, dude. Just more developed.
Yeah.
All right, on to the next guy, Bishaul Tuten,
the combine darling, dude.
Yes, sir. Is this you, Frank? Once you recover from that sip of the saison.
God, that beer is, it's definitely a tough one, man. Yeah, dude, 23, 5'9", 206, went to Virginia Tech, where my boy Mike Vick went. Transferred from North Carolina A&T. 5 years in college, another COVID baby, man. Played 34 games, 356 rushing yards, 2,021 yards on the ground, 25 rushing touchdowns, 5.7 clip, 49 catches, 359 receiving yards, and 4 receiving touchdowns. Flip over to my notes here. Speed and agility stand out with this kid. He's capable of ripping off these big runs, man. He's versatile as a receiver. He also played a little bit in the return game, something to note. And he's got pretty good hands in the backfield, right?
He's going to make a team because of that.
Exactly. So, I mean, like a lot of these guys, it doesn't look like he runs well between the tackles, so those short yard situations, not much highlights, and that's going to be something he's going to need to work on if he's going to get on the field. Smaller frame, it's going to limit when he's going to get on the field. And honestly, I thought his vision was a little questionable, to say the least.
He did. He lacked patience.
Yeah, he just hit the hole, except, you know, sometimes too much patience is a problem, right? But and because of his size, he's always overwhelmed by defenders. First time somebody puts hands on him, he comes down. So not much rack ability there.
I thought he had some good power to his game, though, dude.
Like, you think so?
I feel like once he got to the second level, he's not afraid to punish somebody. You know what I mean? But
I guess I kind of honed in on like his lack of running between the tackles, and that's where he seemed to struggle the most when he would get.
I think, he was fun to watch because he played. He reminded me of like Isaiah Pacheco in a way, because he played with so much energy.
Uh huh.
But he just lacked the patience to let the lanes develop.
Right.
And so, and he is fast enough. So like, okay, it's not there. He would just bounce outside.
You can't do that.
But he can do it in college.
Right.
He's not gonna be able to do that in the pros.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Defensive ends run 4.5s and 4.4s.
I have nothing to add for this, dude. I think a lot of people are going to be fooled by his combine results, in which I think he finished first in
like everything, like, for a running back.
Yeah, it was crazy, dude.
Yeah,
he fucking absolutely murdered it at the combine.
Yeah,
but
he's a combine winner.
He is
sure.
An intriguing prospect, dude. I mean, Frank, you did a great job of laying him out, you know, here. But
he's got some ball security issues.
He does. He does have some ball security
issues.
9
fumbles.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
A lot of these
guys
have ball security issues, though, actually, to be honest.
And some injury issues. Had some ankle issues. He definitely missed some time.
All these kids are going to be walking around with footballs all day at camp.
Yeah.
What do you think, D? Day 3?
Oh, this is a day day three guy.
Yeah, he's probably round four, round five guy.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm a little higher on him. I thought when it comes to this class, he was one of those few guys that had speed and power, in my opinion.
Okay,
like, you know, and he had enough wiggle to make you miss, and he had enough power to run you over. I thought once he can get through the hole,
maybe I gotta watch some more tape then on this guy.
Oh, dude, turn on the Boston College tape.
Okay.
He feels like the perfect zone scheme fit because he's a better outside runner. He's literally built for the toss play, the pitch play. Give him that outside track, and he's off to the races. 6.3 yards per carry in 2024. Tons of home run hit. Tons of home runs on his tape. And he averaged 4.4 yards after contact per carry. So some of those advanced metrics are there. He definitely needs to improve his decision-making between the tackles. But he's got a lot of giddy-up to his game, dude. He reminded me of somebody that had some injury issues, got a little bit of power, and he would just come out of nowhere and just have these awesome games, and that was Raheem Mostert.
Really?
Because Mostert is sneaky fast.
Yeah, Mostert's pretty fast.
Yeah, and that's what this kid is, dude.
And like, he's sneaky injured every
and
year.
And he did a lot of that.
Not so much sneaky, dude. But it's a given.
But I'm thinking more of like 49ers Mostert, where he would just come in and he would just, you know, spell Tevin Coleman, and here goes this guy breaking
the first
50-yard touchdown.
It's like first week.
Yeah. And that's why, to me, it's like, dude, he's the perfect guy to get drafted by the Niners, drafted by the Rams, or someone, you know, he's not going to take the backfield, but he's going to be in another one of those change of pace backs that you're going to need to handcuff because he's got that ability, dude.
Every fucking guy on this list is like that.
They're all NFL worthy. They all deserve to be rosterable for dynasty purposes. And they're all, to me, you have to see where the landing spot
they're
is.
They're impacting everywhere they go, basically.
100%, dude. If this kid goes to the Niners, you're going to handcuff him. 100% he's better than Isaiah Garendo.
Because that guy's Isaac Garendo. Isaac is going to go down.
It's TJ Warren.
TJ Warren, dude. TJ Warren. You literally had it. It's TJ Warren.
He's going to go down like every other fucking Niner running back. And then this guy's going to get handed the keys. And then this guy's going to be an RB fucking one they always are in San Francisco.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something there to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he's in my top 10. But I think he's like 11 or 12.
Interesting.
Moving on to
Cam.
This guy, dude.
Cam.
His last name's dope.
Scatter-do-dat-dat-bat-bat-bo. Cam Scatterbo, baby. Probably the most, dare I say, intriguing running back prospect in this class.
Yeah.
I feel like. Cam,
are we done yet? Nope.
Almost, dude. 23-year-old out of Arizona State, originally from Sacramento State. 5'11", 215. I think that's a bit of a reach. I think he looks smaller than that.
He looks shorter than that.
Shorter.
215 for sure.
215, yeah, he's a thick boy, but he looks shorter for sure than 5'11". But if that's what they claim he is, that's what he claims. Years in college, 5, which is a bit of an issue. He's one of those 9-year starters. That's all right. Quick stats here to break down. 34 games played, 493 rushing attempts, 2,494 rushing yards.
He did most of that this season.
He did.
Hell yeah.
30 rushing touchdowns, 5 yards per carry, 71 catches, and 891 yards, so you know you can get after it in the receiving game. 4 receiving touchdowns for a total of all-purpose yards, 3,385 yards, and total touchdowns, 34, dude, which is pretty impressive. Arizona State was a nothing burger on a lot of people's radar going into this last season, and Scam Catabo basically flipped that on its head, dude. They ended up being what I think the 4 seed in the college football playoff.
Scammeran.
Yeah, he pushed Texas to overtime.
Yes, he did. I was gonna say, did he play? He played Texas. What am I thinking that he didn't play?
He played Texas, but he was taking a lot of plays off. And everyone's like, is he injured or whatever? And he's literally
because
like,
he didn't do he wasn't in the combine, so he must have been hurt. Maybe
he had something going on, for sure. And but a lot of these guys, like, they know, like, okay, I'm not going to run a good 40, so they just don't do certain things.
I'm hungover. I'm going to pass,
bro.
Hungover.
I thought he was hungover during the playoff. He was literally puking on the sidelines, And then he would just get in there and just like turn out a couple yards. And
he was living his best life, dude, this year. I mean, he had his greatest year of his life.
I mean, that's the most college thing I've ever heard.
If you watch him, dude, it's like he has Tourette's.
Interesting.
So apparently he always, this is like a, here's like a super deep dive that ATC does. He used to have emo hair. So I guess every time he'd play, he would always like and get the hair out of his face. So if you watch him play, he has like a twitch. It's like a permanent twitch to his face. His mom also said that when his older brothers would go to football practice, he would put their pads on and just ram into light poles, dude.
What a champion, yes, dude.
So he was, yeah. So he's dealt with, dealt with some brain damage from a very early age. You could thank Dan Brugler for that one, dude.
So we got to draft this guy, dude.
Yes.
Absolutely,
absolutely,
dude.
Absolutely. Speaking
guys,
of draft,
this kid deserves to be an ATC, you know,
we got to get him on the
special
show,
guest, 100%,
he does,
dude.
Bro. So let's get into some pros and cons.
Dave, reach out to him.
You can't say his name anymore, dude. He's not, wasn't work for us.
Oh, that's right, dude.
That's right. He's
gonna
get
sued,
dude. Yeah. But for Cam, dude, elite contact balance. Probably the best I've seen out of all the running backs in this class.
Him and Genty.
The dude just refuses to go down. I don't know if that's just like his frame or what, dude, but like he has a never say die attitude and is always standing upright, dude. As we alluded to, his pass catching, dude, he can catch it out of the backfield on the routes. I will say I didn't see him run a lot of routes on tape, a lot of similar stuff, you know, dump off in the backfield or kind of like go route.
Yeah, Texas routes.
Yeah, dude, nothing like crazy. So maybe a limited route tree there, but still can get after it. And he's a natural runner. He's instinctive with enough wiggle to avoid tacklers and weave in and out of traffic. He's just a legit all-around solid running back. Some cons, he lacks explosiveness to his game. He has an average burst, average stop-start ability. His top speed, so once he gets out.
To be determined.
Yeah, not great. He's slow to get going, and he lacks breakaway speed. And his ball security, he has 10 fumbles in the last 3 years. And then lastly, I will add to, in case you don't watch college football, he is also white. So that is a problem if you are scouting running backs, dude.
So
I will say this. I mean, he is a very hard comp to try and find. And I found kind of a fun one that's not really real, but I thought it'd be fun anyways. But this guy is Tim Tebow if he played running back, dude.
That's
no. I got a better
10,
one.
100%.
Personality wise, dude.
Like, I got a better one.
This guy's throwing zins in and ripping shotguns with us. Tim is like,
take away the Christianity religious stuff, bro. They both have moxie.
They're both just white, dude. That's
both,
it.
They're confident white men.
They both
perfect.
Love trucking people, dude. Like this is
no,
Tim
this
Tebow
guy's
if
like
you played
John Riggins,
back.
Dude.
John Riggins. Oh, that's a good one, dude.
I had Jamal Williams. So to me, he looks like Jamal on tape.
That's
limited
a good
in
call.
Middle, like all his runs were
loves
between
anime,
the tackles.
Loves Pokemon.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be surprised at like hearing all the weird stuff about him. I guess I kind of like that even makes more sense. But like watching his tape, the only thing that I have different that you didn't say, Brady, is that all of his tape is basically between the tackles. No outside zone runs, very limited route tree. So like it's just like this is a guy that lands in the right spot and gets 15 touchdowns in the Detroit Lions, just all within 5 yards of the goal line. You know,
even though it's really 1 year of production,
yeah,
there's a lot to like.
I know
about this kid. Dude.
1 year.
I mean, so
fuck. We still have to drink that one.
For as high as we were on Ashton Genty, this guy finished second in rushing yards.
That's impressive,
Genty, dude. 1,700 rushing yards and 21 touchdowns, 24 total touchdowns this season. He was a Heisman finalist. We didn't mention that, so he was fifth in Heisman voting. Toughness. He's sturdy. He just absorbs hits, dudes. He can catch. He can throw. Did you see him throw that 30-yard touchdown pass in the playoff game? And there's a little bit of a, you know, he can do both, dude. 1,500 rushing yards and then 500 receiving yards. He's the last, you know, the last guy to do that in college football.
Let me guess. Another great white running back, Christian McCaffrey.
Boom.
Nailed it.
Oh, my God. He's Christian McCaffrey.
He's Christian McCaffrey, dude.
Fuck.
I'm just kidding, listeners.
The attitude, the never say attitude, or never say die attitude this kid has, I love. He refuses to go down. He's athletic enough, 100%. He can carry a workload if he's asked to do it at the next level. More quick than explosive, but he knows how to use his pad level. Like, He's not the tallest guy, but he literally, dude, like, he plays so low to the ground. He looks like a rugby player.
Interesting.
When he runs, dude. When he hits the hole, he looks like a rugby player in a scrum. This comp to me, he's a slower James Connors. Where
another half white running back, dude.
Yeah, to me. That's what I see. James Connor, I think, has a little bit more home run ability, but he's a grinded out guy who can catch, who can run, and he just refuses to go down. There's so many times where the play ends and James Connor is getting carried by his lineman. Like,
yeah.
You know, and maybe that's because Connor plays for the Cardinals and this guy went to Arizona State. I see James Connor in his game, and that's a top 20 running back.
That's our RB2, man.
It also means he'll miss probably 7 to 9 games a year.
So you're welcome.
Party.
You know what? Fuck it. He's Christian McCaffrey.
I don't hate that comp, man.
I like that Jamal Williams one, bro. That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, again, just randomly like, there's just some
20 touchdowns.
Yeah, there's just like some things about his game that jumped out to me that I'm like, dude, you're fucking Jamal.
He's elite at something, dude, and that's called contact balance.
Yeah, that must be what it is.
Elite. Him and Ashton Jeanty, dude, are 1 and 1A when it comes to.
I think he might be better than Jaunty, to be honest, dude.
God, you're just saying that because you're white and he's white, dude.
God, I hope Ashton lands elsewhere than the Raiders.
I also wasn't here for that episode. I'm not as high as Ashton on as you guys
It's
are.
Not that. Well, so not to get sidetracked, but I comped him to Aaron Jones.
I know what you did. I listened to the episode.
What did you think about that comp? Like, he looks like he could be Aaron Jones in fantasy football.
I think that's not terrible, dude. I just, like I said,
just
I,
not
I
on
know,
the Raiders,
I know he's
dude.
The number one in this draft class, but I just have my reservations. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like for fantasy purposes, like I said, you know, I want the guy, the kind of all around purpose guy, dude, that can do a bit of every. And I'm not saying that he can't, because he can, but like,
I feel like Ashton can.
No, that's what I'm saying, dude. But I just think there's dudes that are better at it than he is.
I got you. This is going to be an exciting
class. Trevion. Or Omarion.
Trevion can do it all. That's
or anyone sure with the last name Ion. Or a first name that ends in Ion.
Saquon.
Yeah. Oh, Saquon.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson. Yeah, I will say, I'll give credit to John Middlecoff, who does a podcast with Colin Cowherd, to back your point up with Ashton Jeanty and just this draft class as a whole. He's like, all right, let's just take a step back here, guys. You're telling me a top three talent in this draft and the number one running back in this draft is a 5'8 running back from Boise State.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you're telling me this is the best running back in the draft class.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I feel like that. Okay. So did Colin say that?
No, the other guy.
Okay. Because I was about to fucking lie calling him up. Yeah, no, okay. I feel like that is like a poor correlation. Just because this running back went to Boise State, there's no way he's going to produce at the next level. Like, I think that's a fucking stupid, complete lack of self-awareness argument.
He was
like,
using...
Are you talking about competition level?
Like, just like in... No, I actually brought up the fact that, like, the concern that I have about Ashton is the competition that he played against, okay. Right? But, like, to sit there and just be like, oh, yeah, just because he went to Boise State and everything in his talent level... We're going to disregard that. It's kind of what that statement is.
Oh, yeah, I hear that.
And well, I think that's fucking absolutely brain dead.
To give you the full picture, he was talking about the draft class, right?
Right.
And it's easy to get distracted by the offensive players when the true stars of this draft class are the meat and the potatoes, which is like D-line.
Yes.
You know, like the linemen, like the boring, like the not as exciting things. Right?
I thought
the best players in this draft class are defensive players. This is a defensive draft.
Yes. Okay. Right? Let me take a step back and then let me correct myself. I was wrong in thinking that he was saying that in the best running back of this class is a running back from Boise State.
So he was kind of more like, let's just take a step back and realize like, hey, the offensive players of this draft class aren't elite as some of them have been in the past, where he was using like Ashton Jeanty as like, that you're telling me the best running back in this class is this undersized running back that went to Boise State, you know, with has one solid year of production. The best wide receiver in this draft class, we're comparing him to Drake London, who has done close to nothing in the NFL.
That's not true.
So that was kind of his argument. Like, when he's talking about, like, he's like, hey, like, guys, like, take a step back. This is not last year's draft class where we have Malik Nabers and Romo Dunes and all these guys, and we think they're going to be amazing. And it's like,
I think we have learned. We have learned up here.
Yeah,
we
ain't those guys.
But the running backs are for real, though.
It's no fault.
I think
of,
so too.
It's no fault of Ashton, and then we can get out this. It's no fault of his own. But the hype is so big with him, I think when he gets to the league, he's going to have a rude wake-up call with those defenses.
Oh, I agree.
He's going to get lit up.
It's hard not to, but like...
Look at the Penn State tape. That tells you everything you need to know.
Look at his... look at his numbers and what he did in college. He's awesome, man.
Bro, I'm not... I agree. I think he's a solid...
I do remember the Penn State game. He got fucking bottled up.
A little bit.
I'm just saying, dude, like, you know, kind of like what D just mentioned. With
I guess I'm just getting pumped because, like... We have the possibility.
Want him, dude.
Yeah, I want to see another fucking elite
Everybody
running
wants
back
to see elite
come
running
into
backs,
fantasy
dude.
Football. Hey, like, I want to see
fantasy
it.
Fantasy-wise, he's a top five back no matter where he goes.
Yeah, I just need to see, like, I need to see more running, like, the running backs make a fucking comeback, dude. I want a fantasy, I want our redraft on nothing but receivers and Drake London. So talk shit on Drake London all you want. He won me a shit, bitch.
Drake, baby. Did,
dude. Malik Nabers and Drake London. Let's go.
Respect, dude.
Malik Nabers. All right, let's get to our next back. Ollie Gordon II.
Skip. This guy's ass.
Oklahoma State University. He's 6'2", 226, 21 years old.
Big boy.
Yeah, he's corn-fed, dude. So he had much better 2023 tape than 2024 tape.
Much better? That's an understatement, bro. You might as well took 2024 off is what he should have done, dude.
Yeah, we'll skip
take
past
your COVID year, bro.
Let's just skip past the career numbers, and let's just get right to it, dude. In 2023... He was arguably looked at as the number one back coming out.
Yeah.
Damn.
100%.
Fell
dude.
Off the face of the planet, dude.
He had 285 carries last 2023, 1,732 rushing yards, and 21 touchdowns 2 years ago. This season, 190 carries, 880 yards, and 13 touchdowns.
What happened?
That is the question we are going to need to answer. So, what is this kid good at? He's got acceleration to make some defenders miss. He's a threat every time he touches the ball. Not a home run threat, just a big play, chunk play threat. He's got power, dude. He's a big back. He's built to carry the workload. Passing game, good for his size. And I'm talking passing game in general. He's a decent blocker. He's got good hands. He's a weapon in the screen game. Kind of Derrick Henry-esque where
that's my comp.
Get him in space and get the fuck out of the way because this guy will run right through you. He runs like a battering ram. He's got good burst, good acceleration. He's a second-level punisher. His cons to me, he's north-south only. All right? He's only got eyes for just going forward, dude. Literally very little lateral game. Patience. I think he overcommits, and then he struggles to find another way out. Where once the lane's not there, either he's going to commit to it, and once he realizes it's gone, he's unlike a lot of these guys in this draft class, he loses a lot of yards, a lot of negative plays in his game. Big plays, there aren't any.
Jesus.
He doesn't have home run ability.
Nope.
And then we talked about his production. His production really fell off. His team in general this season really took a step back. His O-line really took a step back. He looked like a guy that wasn't playing at 100% knowing that he was trying to get to the NFL.
Damn.
And so it's hard, dude. I think he's got to improve his decision-making. And for someone as big as he is, I think he could improve on his physicality as a finisher to be consistent, like three down running back at the next level, but he's got enough promise as a blocker and enough promise as a pass catcher. Like I think that's going to help him make a depth chart.
That last part is tough.
He 100% to me is someone that I'm going to keep my eye on to see where he lands.
Really?
That's interesting. Dude.
I told you the longer you wait, you take to finish that beer, the worse it gets.
Well, no, it's just the bottom part, dude.
Right. Which is the last part of the beer, which has been sitting there the longest.
But it is what it is. Sorry, Frank. Go ahead. That's just interesting to me. This guy's off my board, like, completely.
I don't think he's off my board because
he
can't
ignore that tape.
You can't ignore the year that he was awesome. I watched it.
I can ignore it. There's no tape to be had last year. What are we talking about?
I mean, yeah, last, but like, it sounded, you guys watch college football more than me. And D, you laid it out perfectly. The entire team took a step back, and it looked like he might have been hurt. Like, you gotta at least put some credence on that, right?
So,
to me, you look at the tape, that's prime, baby. You look at the talent of when the team is rolling.
Let me put it to you this way. Let's go week one of the college football season 2024.
Okay.
The number one running back in the nation week one was Ollie Gordon II and not Ashton Jeanty.
This is true.
He was the best back in the draft class. If we're doing like early NFL mocks before the college season started, this guy is going in the first round.
Okay.
That's how good he was the season prior. Now he's going in the sixth round. Not the sixth round, but he's...
Right. I mean, all I'm saying is like Brady makes the point that he's off his board, right? I don't think he's off my board because...
He's not off my board.
The tape when he was healthy and the team was healthy and they were rolling is awesome.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
He's a tough one, dude. Like, you can look at it many different ways. Like, I think some analysts are looking at it like, dude, everything sucked around him, and you can just tell he got brought down by how bad that team was, right? Which you don't want to see. You want to see someone to rise above it.
That's exactly what I was
saying. But it's hard to rise above a poor offensive line as a running back.
Oh, don't I know it, dude. Or a quarterback.
Exactly. Like, so, like, with it, he has all of the measurables on tape and the build and the makeup to just to get his foot in the door, right? And if you get your foot in the door somewhere in the NFL and you find the right situation, it sounds like this kid could make something happen.
He's going to make an NFL roster.
He's going to get in just based on – he is literally Zach Edey of the Memphis Grizzlies. He's going to get in based off his size, bro.
Fucking Zach.
Ain't nobody fucking stopping 7'5 feet, dude. And ain't nobody stopping 6'2", 226 with a fucking third and short, dude.
Yeah.
Like, where he lands will tell you what an NFL team thinks about him. Hey, you're a backup? Or like, oh, no. Like, you're going to take the reins one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy goes to the Ravens.
Or the Saints.
Oh, no, no. You think he's the guy.
Yeah.
He just needs a year or two, right? Or is he Braylon Allen? Like, no, you're going to go spell Kyren Williams. I don't know. Like, I'm just throwing shit out there.
Right.
You know, because it's there.
Oh, you just didn't want to say...
Blake Corum?
Yeah, you just didn't want to
say Blake Corum would be like the 15th best guy in this draft. In the draft class, if we're comparing.
He's throwing in the towel on Blake Corum already, bro.
You fucking should, dude.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm throwing in the towel, but I'm being real. Like,
Shut the fuck up.
If we're taking the 2024 and the 2025 running back class, like... There's no hiding it. Blake Corum's, he's all the way down there.
But no team drafts a running back in the third round for them just to be a backup.
Shut the fuck up, Brady.
The Rams do.
Let's go, baby.
Oh, my God. I swear to God, if Kyren Williams goes down and we have to use Blake Corum.
Fucking A, dude.
God.
No shit. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, we're not going to go there. All right. We good to move on to the next guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, hit it, dude.
All right. So next guy, Damian Martinez, 21 years old. He's out of the University of Miami, and he transferred from Oregon State. Overall, this guy, 38 games played, career-wise, over 500 attempts and over 3,000 rushing yards, 26 Whoa. Rushing touchdowns, and he averages 6.2 a clip. Some light passing work, 391 receiving yards with 4 touchdowns. His style to me, size, power. He's a power back. And he's one of those guys in this draft class that's always moving forward. Even though he lacks top-end speed, he's got that ability to just hit the hole. Sudden acceleration, hit the hole, hit defenders. For a bigger boy, dude, got some nice feet, dude.
Yeah.
He felt very light. He felt very agile in tight spaces. And to me, like, watching him play was watching, like, producer Dave play Madden. He just had this ability to like string the juke together, like cut back, and it worked. And I love how productive he was. 6.3 yards per carry, 37.5% of his carries were either a first down or a touchdown.
That's fucking insane.
Which means this guy has a nose to get the job done. Now, again, not a home run threat. He's one speed and it's not that fast. And he runs tall. He runs like a big back. He runs upright. And all the work he did was through the tackles. Not a lot of outside running to his game. And he does, frankly, he just didn't do it because he didn't have the quickness to get to the corner.
Yeah.
Right? He's an inside banger. I like the fact that he led Oregon State in rushing in his two seasons, and then he transferred to Miami and did the same damn thing.
That's impressive.
I loved his patience. I loved his physicality. And I loved that 71% of his yards came after contact. Physical, dude. He's a power through runner, and he prides himself on finishing. I love it, dude. He's a dirty work running back to me. He's got Ramondre Stevenson written all over him.
That's a dope comp, dude. That's a better comp than mine. So I had him for like an A.J. Dillon because of the grinded out approach he is. But I do like the Ramondre comp. Yeah, he's going to need development, pass protection. But I think that what he does well outweighs what he doesn't do well so Agreed. Much more. So like the size, the ability to grind it out, the short yardage type approach, the always getting positive yardage. NFL teams that want to grind you out, fucking teams led by Mike Vrabel, fucking, you know, the Ravens, people like that, are always sought after. Steelers come to mind. Like,
he'd be a he's great gonna, back to go to Pittsburgh.
He's going to find a job.
100%, dude.
So and the things that he doesn't do well can be coached.
Right.
So.
Right. And he's one of those guys where does he do anything elite? No.
No.
But he does a lot of things really well. You give me a big, powerful back that has great feet, and it showed in the combine, dude. It showed in the combine when he's running those drills. Like, this kid's got good feet.
Yeah.
Right? And it showed. Like, I love when you have a guy that's his size, but he can still make you miss. Right?
That's impressive,
man. He doesn't just move forward. Where Amarion Hampton and him have this ability to just move laterally and then hit the next guy in the chest.
Yeah.
Right? Run him over and then move laterally again. You know, I think Amarion has more home run ability, but to me, he feels like a poor man Amarion Hampton.
I agree with you. Amarion just has like one gear more than he does.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, I miss Ramondre. Maybe because they look the same too. They both have longer hair.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's the only comp. It's the hair.
Nothing for his skill set.
No.
I actually think the Amarion is a nice comp. Just a poor man's him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good back. What do you think, Brady?
Damian Martinez.
Miami running back?
Yep.
No thoughts, dude. I completely missed that segment because I was taking a piss.
That's all good. He's just prototypical size, 6'2", 230. Doesn't really have top end speed.
Yeah, I think this kind of does only everything. Like, I think this is only kind of productive year as well, if I'm not
That's
mistaken.
Correct.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I like a lot more backs other than this guy, to be honest, and I'm not going to add too much on it.
Yeah. You want the next guy or you want me to do it?
I don't matter, dude. How about you take it and all round it out, dude?
Okay. Rashard Smith, 5'10", 196, Southern Methodist University.
Southern New Hampshire University, online.
Online.
5 years in college, man. 35 games played, 235 rushing attempts, 1,300 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns, 5 yards clip, 39 receptions, 327 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns. Games with 100-plus rushing yards, 7. Games with multiple touchdowns, 5. Interesting tidbit about that. So, great speed and burst. Excellent vision in the open field. Solid receiver out of the backfield. And versatile weapon. Things I don't like about this guy. 5'10", less than 200 pounds.
Undersized.
He's tiny, dude.
And he looks like it on...
Yeah, he looks it. He lacks power between the tackles, and then more concerning, very hesitant in traffic. He's trying to make a decision. He's like thinking too much. That was quite obvious. And then
because he's barely played running back,
he fumbles. Yeah,
he's a wide receiver and a running back.
So
he's Tyrone Tracy 2.0.
Tyrone Tracy succeeded at the next level. I don't know if this guy's going to be successful in that type of transition.
This kid was better than Tyron Tracy, in my opinion.
You think so?
I think so.
I think...
although... Tyron has better... I think better feel for the position right away. I'll say that.
Tyron looks like... Yeah, like he was... Should have been a running back.
But I think... Did you have any points on him, Brady? I have a lot to say on this kid.
Do you? Okay. I'll let you take over, dude. I'll just say I'm not huge on Breshard Smith. I think he's way too undersized for the position, as D alluded to. I think before he was a wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
It was an undersized wide receiver. So, yeah, not my cup of tea, to be honest. I just don't think he's going to get it done at the next level. There's way too many dudes. Again, if we're evaluating from purely a fantasy standpoint, there are – how many have we done now? 20 running backs? There are probably 17, 18 running backs you should be taking ahead of this guy.
I think there's a path.
Okay.
But it's probably not coming this season.
Okay.
I'll put it to you that way. Because he's a receiver, right? This was his only season – He spent three seasons as a receiver for Miami. Then he transferred to SMU, and they made him a running back. And the fact that he only played running back for one season and he got almost 2,000 all-purpose yards and was fourth in all-purpose yards behind Ashton Jeanty, Cam Scadabo, and Amarian Hampton. Mm. Like, that to me catches my eye. Mm-hmm. Like, the production, the big playability. He had 19 plays of 20 yards or more, top five. He had 18 total touchdowns. I was in the top 12 for FBS. So the production is there. I think I'm a little drawn to how funny he was to watch. He's very dynamic.
Yes.
He's very sudden, linearly, laterally, start-stop ability, home run threat. He just, to me, he's got the receiver hands, and he's got the, like, he's got that ability in open space to just make anything happen. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to watch. Now, yeah, from his size standpoint, he's undersized, and he—you could tell he looks like a guy that hasn't played running back. That's it. To me, that's what I see. He just looks like a guy that is still learning the position. So I feel like he'll be a later round draft pick that's probably going to be buried on somebody's depth chart, where they're going to want to let him develop. And if he gets the chance, I think I could see him making a name for himself down the line
as a running back.
I think as a running back, I mean, he's a receiver.
That's
so 100% he can play third down back.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, and so, like, so if you want him to be James White, he will be James White.
Dude, that's a great.
But with a shit ton of make you miss ability.
That's a great.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
kind of tidbit there, dude.
My comp for him was Justice Hill.
Okay.
That's where he's got, he's a pass catcher, but Hill will break one every now and then.
Nice.
You know, so. Yeah, that was my comp, Justice Hill. You know, I don't want to shoe him into just being a pass catching running back, because there was enough ability there where, like, if he can figure it out, like, he can become a pretty decent running back,
right.
You know, in general. And that's good for fantasy football. Like,
it's great for fantasy.
This kid's, he looks like, where Tyrone Tracy did not look like a receiver, Tyrone Tracy was used as a running back. I don't know why the Giants didn't throw him the ball more. This kid looks like somebody.
You don't know why the Giants didn't throw him the ball more?
Oh, actually, let me take that back.
Because they fucking can't, dude.
I'll tell you why. His name rhymes with Yaniel Names.
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus Christ. I love how you said that with a straight face. I don't know why the Giants didn't throw him the ball more. Are you kidding me?
They have no idea what they're doing.
The fucking GM needs to lose his job, dude.
He still has it, miraculously.
They need to he needs to get fired, and they need to hire
his
son.
Danny Dimes is where, in Minnesota now?
No, Indianapolis. He's going to be the starter takes the job from Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, he is.
Sorry, D-Guy.
Wow, hell yeah.
No, I mean, I don't got much to say. I think this guy has a path, but it's going to take some time. My comp's just as well.
I like the comp,
man. I actually like the comp a lot, too, dude.
I don't have much to say, dude.
That's a solid comp.
All right.
You rounded that one out, so go ahead. You can take the next one.
Yeah. Moving on to the last guy.
Kyle Monongai.
Yeah, Kyle Monongai, 22 years old, coming out of Rutgers, you know, another COVID kid, 5 years in college. Overall, 669 rushing attempts, 3,222 rushing yards with 27 touchdowns and a sprinkle of passing work. He was first team All Big Ten in 2024. That says a lot. A lot of talent, you know, in the Big Ten, especially from a running back standpoint, and you've got Quinshon and Travion.
Yep.
And Caleb Johnson, all in the Big Ten.
And no one really talked about this kid, dude. He was pretty quiet.
Is he white?
No. He's very black.
Very black.
Very black. He's
you can't say
he's a true African. Dude.
Yes, we can. Because he's literally, it says here in the notes, first generation Cameroonian American.
That's cool. Good for him.
So,
How to get Kyle.
I like this kid, dude.
I love this kid.
So, really? Oh, damn. I thought I was going to be on an island, dude. So, he became one of the best running backs in the Big Ten. He finished number two in school history with 3,222 rushing yards. Who is the only other good running back to come out of Rutgers, Frank?
When you said his name earlier, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to say it because this he literally reminds me of this kid.
He reminds me of him, too.
Yeah. And
Rutgers.
I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, but I'll say it after this.
Is it Alfred Morris?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
You nailed it, dude.
Hold on.
Here's a hint. We just talked about the Ravens.
Ray Rice?
Ray Rice, bro.
Okay. I knew there was a very good running back that came out of there. I couldn't connect the dots.
There's also a very another good running back that came out of there not too long ago.
I got nothing.
Beats me.
Really?
Was it Doug Martin?
No. Isaiah Pacheco.
Was he really Rutgers?
Yep.
Hmm. Okay.
Damn, you didn't know that?
I don't know about that.
It's a rarity when you don't know that. So,
so back to Manongai. So he's that guy that doesn't, he is nothing elite. He's not the fastest. He's not the most powerful back. But he just runs hard.
Hard.
Hard, decisive, ball security, zero fumbles.
Fuck
he's
yeah.
Dependable. He is your prototypical NFL coaches will love this kid because he's just got the right mindset, the right mentality. He's a Bill Belichick kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'll put it to you that way.
Okay.
Not a ton of breakaway speed, but he can pick, slide, weave through the defense. He's similar to Martinez. He's got good feet, shifty in tight spaces. He's got great toughness, good pad level, hard to track down in traffic. And I think it's because he's a little bit undersized
here.
Yeah,
he's short.
5'9", 209. So he's got that Ray Rice build, dude, where he still gets low for being a smaller guy, but he's got that sturdy base. Another guy with really good contact balance. Loved his feet, loved his compete. Pass protection. He could not stop a blitz if his life depended on it.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And while I thought he was very decisive, there were times where I felt like he was too patient. Where it seemed like he was really waiting for the blocks to open and not anticipate what's supposed to be developing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where he's literally like sitting back waiting for something and then it doesn't happen and he's fucked. Versus like...
Okay. He doesn't have like great feel for what's happening.
To me, it's very hit and miss.
Or do you think he's like thinking?
I think he's still thinking.
I think
thinking.
It's a mental thing, dude.
Yeah. I think he's still thinking.
I think... What excites me about him is, and I'm sorry, D, to cut you off here, but his problems are coachable at the next level, dude. And, like, he already has the talent, to succeed at the next level. And, D, I kind of alluded to you here in a second. But he reminds me, and I'm not saying that he is these running backs at all, but just the style of, like, a love child between Marshawn Lynch and Ray Rice, dude. Like, literally, like, fucking just a violent runner that's going to get downhill, dude. Can catch out of the backfield every now and then, dude, mm-hmm. and just fucking bring it every game, dude. But yes, he does have those lapses in judgment in terms of like picking up blitzes and whatnot, dude.
I had a hard time trying to find like a realistic comp for him.
I got one.
And I settled on Jerome Ford.
I'll take Jerome Ford all
Mine's
day, every
kind of similar.
Dude.
Michael Carter from the Jets.
That's solid, too.
That's solid,
Michael
too.
Carter, when he had the opportunity, did good things.
Yeah. I think this guy's more of a banger.
He is.
But... Yeah, where Ford is good. He's not great.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but he's a grinder.
He's a grinder.
He's a Gruden grinder, dude.
Yes, he is. Pass that thing around.
I saw that guy in Barstool recently. And he looked like Tom DeLonge, dude.
I love Gruden, dude.
Me too.
But yeah, he's so happy he got fired from the Raiders.
So we like this guy, Brady.
I love this kid, dude.
Nice.
I mean, I'll say it in a second, but yeah, I love this kid.
He's just outside my top 10.
I mean, it's interesting that
he sneaked in mine.
It's interesting that we comped him to two guys that have had games during the fantasy season that were big. Like Michael Carter had a couple games.
Yeah.
Fucking Jerome Ford was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough beard. Yeah.
And I will say, so, I actually like randomly came across like four or five Rutgers games this year. So I actually saw him live in person a lot, but I loved what I saw, dude. He's just a fucking bully, bro. And he fucking gets downhill and he fucking trucks dudes. And like very similar to Cam, his contact balance is like up there. It's elite, dude. It's really good, man.
So fun fact about him, I actually leaned on him a lot when I did my college parlays.
Did you?
Yes.
Nice,
and
dude.
He consistently hit the over.
Because he's the man.
Because he's the man, yeah. Dude. And that is the only way I knew who he was. And honestly, I thought he was white.
I love it, dude.
Until I started doing some homework on him.
You thought Kyle Monongai was white, dude.
Yeah, I did, dude. He sounded like some Eastern European guy, dude.
Did Kyle give it away, bro? Is that what happened?
It was Kyle.
I knew it.
That was definitely an adopted name.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
To be honest, we probably could have talked about five more backs.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
If I had to throw in some honorable mentions, it's Jaden Blue, running back out of Texas, upside guy, third pass catching back. He's someone to me that feels like he could become James White.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We love those guys.
And then there's Taj Brooks, who in some people's minds is a top five back in this class coming out of Texas Tech. He feels very similar to RJ Harvey to me. Top tens. If I had to give you guys my top 10, I got Genty as my one.
Okay.
Henderson is my two.
Very nice.
Hampton's my three. I like Quinchon. Quinchon's my four. I have Cam Scadabo at five and Dylan Sampson at six.
That's pretty ballsy.
Caleb Johnson is seven. I got to put my Devin Neal at eight. I actually have LaQuinton Allen at nine and DJ Giddens at 10.
We actually have a pretty similar list, dude.
All right.
You want to go?
Yeah.
All right.
Ashton one.
I thought you were about to say Quentin Johnston, dude.
Quinchon Judkins two.
Oh, I don't hate that, dude.
Trayvon Henderson three. Caleb Johnson four. Omarion Hampton five.
Wow.
Dylan Sampson six. Cam Scadabo seven. Ollie Gordon eight. Bashaul Tootin nine. And Devin Neal 10.
Damn. Okay.
And I'll round it out here. I have Trevion at the one.
Oh, baby.
Oh, wow.
I have
really hate Ashton Genty.
I have Omarion Hampton, two.
Dude, you're me.
I have Ashton Genty, three. I have Quinchon, four. I have Caleb Johnson, five. I have Dylan Sampson, six. Do you have your boy Neal, seven? And guy you mentioned last episode.
Next Kyren Williams, baby. Let's go.
That neither of you guys have, that I'm a big believer in, is Jordan James at eight. I think if he falls in the right place, he could do some
damage. Like Jordan James.
I did, yeah.
Giddens, I kind of forgot about him.
Giddens, I have nine. And Kyle Monongai, I have 10.
Damn. That's a cool list. Yeah. I like your rankings are tight. Yeah.
And that's going to sum up our scouting report.
Yep.
History shows we're really fucking good at this. So,
really
so
good.
So good.
Grab a beer and listen, dude.
That's what we got.
All right.
That's
later.
We got.
Late.
Late.